You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome along to the FWA podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio. And each and every week we get one of the top football writers in the land to preview the televised games. And this week we have Chris Bascombe, the Northwest football reporter for the Daily Telegraph, on the line. First of all, a good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, Dave.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes.
Eventful week in the world of football, to say the least. your newspaper, investigative journalism at its very highest, in my opinion, Chris, has brought the Sam Allardyce story, and Sam Allardyce subsequently has lost his job as England manager. How did that situation unfold, first of all, Chris?
Well, I mean, it's our investigation team, the Telegraph, so I've got absolutely, it's got nothing to do with me, proud as I am to be a Telegraph reporter this week. I have to, doff the cap to a completely different department than our paper. But yes, it's... I think there's a, certainly if anyone waiting for the Telegraph this week has been sitting on the sports desk, I think a sense of both pride that we wait for the newspaper, but also very much sadness at how it's all unfolded. Because I think one of the most disappointing aspects of the whole thing is that I don't think anyone, certainly waiting in football journalism or anyone who you know, in the day-to-day patches, has read anything with any sense of surprise. You sort of go through all these articles and you can just nod in your head going, we probably think this kind of stuff goes on. But, you know, you're always endeavouring during the course of a season to try and make these things stick, and it's very, very difficult. And I mean, I must have to say, maybe on the FWA podcast isn't going to be the most popular thing. One of the things that has disappointed me a little is some of the sniffy remarks publicly made by some people in the profession, even this morning on social media. You know, people talking about, you know, the journalism and how these things have come out. And you kind of think, well, everybody who works in football journalism knows how difficult it is to sort of prove these allegations, not necessarily prove them or expose these things. And so I think the journalists involved should be commended. And I think, you know, if any newspaper had done this week, they would have been commended. So I find that a little bit disappointed. And you know, I do think sometimes as journalists, all of us need a ceremonial removing from our head, from our backside sometimes, you know, and let's just look at the bigger picture. So I think while it's incredibly sad for English football, from a journalistic point of view, it's been excellent. And unfortunately, it just leaves English football again in the process of looking at itself and wondering what happens next, making sure this isn't just another one of these passing scandals that just goes away and then rears its head again in a few years' time, but actually something is done about it, if anything can be done.
I'm glad you mentioned that split, Chris, because I'm a huge advocate of Twitter and love the medium, but journalists, I think, have been on one side of the fence saying it's great journalism, etc., 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 whereas some people... your everyday man, if you will, has said that this is entrapment, this is a disgrace, Sam Allardyce should have stayed in his job. And there has been a real split.
Yeah, well, people need to look up the dictionary definition of entrapment, you know, for the start. You know, Brendan Rodgers, someone I've got a lot of respect for and work with when he was at Liverpool, obviously, seems to cover him. He used that word in a press conference, hugely disappointing that Brendan should say. That's probably just defending his friend. It's not entrapment. If, you know, this is... 10 months of investigative work, where processes are getting put in place. You know, it's not just like on a whim, oh, let's give somebody a call, invite them to a meal and see what's said. You know, clearly information is processed over a period of time, and, you know, you see the end results. So I don't, you know, this word entrapment gets used. Those who are guilty try and immediately present themselves as victims. When they're not victims, they are involved in practices which certainly in Sam's case has cost him his job immediately. So, you know, he knows himself he was foolish and he'd done something wrong. And I think it's sad for him that he became almost an emblem of this when he's just a symptom of it. I mean, I would say that there are probably much bigger fish out there who will obviously be more difficult to catch. you know, there are all kinds of deals. Even last summer, you know, there are one or two deals which I wouldn't be able to mention for legal reasons, which everyone looks at them and goes, hang on a minute, there's something not quite right about that. And people can make their own mind of what those deals are. But how would you make any of these suspicions stick, or, you know, become kind of stories that will shine a light on these practices? And as I said, I think the important thing is that stories like this don't just come and go, because we've had it before. You know, the Lord Stevens report, nothing came of it. It's a great piece by Ian Herbert, I thought, in The Independent yesterday, pointing that out, you know, the Stevens report, shine a light on 17 very strange deals. And what happened? Everyone just forgot about it. And, you know, or is it 10 years on, nothing's ever been done?
Following the Sam Allardyce news and his departure from the England job, we have got prices here with William Hill for next permanent England manager. Gareth Southgate, who's taken temporary charge, is a 5-4 favourite. Ralph Rangnick is 5-2. Arsene Wenger, 4-1. Steve Bruce is 5-1. Eddie Howe, 10-1. Alan Pardew, 12-1. Glenn Hoddle, 12-1. Jurgen Klinsmann, 16s, and it's 20s bar. Southgate is going to take charge for the next four games, but to win in this market, you need to have taken charge of 10 consecutive competitive games, or if England announced that this guy is the permanent manager, you'd be paid out as well. Ralph Rangnick's been... he's come from left field, hasn't he? 5-2.
I think you put Ralph Rang's name in Google Translate, it says Alan Kerbishley. he gets linked with everything. He's either, you know, fantastically well thought of, but nobody's prepared to give him a job in this country, or he's got a fantastic agent. I'm not sure which one, but I would be astonished, absolutely astonished. I mean, I know that there's clearly interest in him because some, you know, fantastic reporters have got onto this very quickly, but, you know, I can't say that seems to make a lot of sense to me personally. In terms of Gareth Southgate, but poor old Gareth must love it the way people are backing Eddie Howe. I mean, he's got a chance to get the job for himself. And how would Gareth Southgate feel? He'd go, oh, thanks, Gareth, but we're going to give this younger guy, you know, Eddie Howe probably be a perfectly good candidate. I think it's Gareth Southgate to lose because he's in position, isn't he? I mean, then there's a great... series of fixtures for anybody who wants to claim the England job, because you would imagine England would ease through some of these games. He certainly should. And if he can get some great performances, there should be a clamour for Gareth to get it full time. Beyond that, my own personal choice, which it was in the summer, will be wait and see what Arsene Wenger's situation is, because clearly, you know, oh, he's been in this country for 20 years, so there's, you know, other people that, oh, you know, we need an Englishman. Well, it didn't go too well, did it, really? This clamour for nationality going for Sam. And I think Wenger would be absolutely perfect if he was interested and if he wanted to change at the end of the season with Arsenal. So I think that's, you know, it's interesting to put Southgate in temporary charge. Perhaps the FA kind of have got their eye on that, see how it unfolds. And there's also Brendan Rodgers as well, because he was... I don't know if he's been mentioned much, but he certainly would have been in the frame, I think, had he not taken the Celtic job. And maybe after a year at Celtic, he might feel, you know, it's a possibility that he couldn't ignore this time. I don't know. But, I certainly think that it's Southgate at the moment should be, you know, favourite, because he could make a bit of his mark in the next few games.
5-4, Gareth Southgate. If you're looking at Brendan Rodgers, he's 33-1 in the betting to be.
Well, I wouldn't mind a little fiver on that.
Yeah.
Just as an outside bet, because he might... We don't know how he's going to go. How far can you actually... He said it himself yesterday. Celtic need to be in the Premier League, and they can't be. He's going to win the league in Scotland. He's had a fantastic result in midweek. So if he can sort of get some credibility in Europe for Celtic, and, you know, maybe get at least third place in that group, have a good run in the Europa League, you might think, well, realistically, over the next few years, how much better can Celtic do? I'm sure Brendan probably feels committed to Scottish football for a while, yeah.
Let's get stuck into the televised Premier League games this weekend then, Chris. And we've got the two teams you cover in action. Everton versus Crystal Palace is the live game tonight, 8 p.m. kickoff. Everton are 3-4 to win the match. The draw 14-5 with Crystal Palace in the betting at 4-1. That slip up from Everton against Bournemouth last weekend came as a a bolt from the blue, really, Chris, because they'd been playing outstanding football, and I was contemplating backing them to finish in the top four. They were looking that good, Chris, and then came that Bournemouth defeat last weekend.
Yeah, I think maybe this is something that Ronald Koeman expected, actually. You know, after the first few games, there was a lot of optimism. Oh, you know, maybe they could be this season's Leicester City, you know, what people were saying. And yet, he was very much, hang on a minute, let's, it's not quite right yet. They're not quite imposing my methods as I would like. You know, he even says today in the paper that there's a bit of a mental issue in terms of trying to adapt from the Martinez way to his way. And I think it came to pass against Bournemouth. Very tricky, notoriously tricky game for them. Crystal Palace at home. Last two occasions, Palace have won and won well. Although, it must be said, I think the star man on both occasions was Yannick Bolasie. So, you know, certainly a bit of inside knowledge in the Everton camp this time. And they'll certainly be looking for a response to the defeat. But I think Everton have got a really good team, first select, you know, first 11. Beyond that, is where I think they may have a few problems. And when players have a few niggles, and Gareth Barry was playing with an injury last week, I think it does show. We saw that in the Capital One Cup when the deputies came in. They just didn't have the same pattern in the side. You know, it just wasn't quite the same energy. And I think that's going to be Everton's problem for the first half of the season, unless they can get a few more in January and sustain it. But certainly, I would make Everton favourites for the Friday night game.
Everton 3-4 to win the game. What's your prediction?
I would say 3-1 Everton.
3-1 to Everton is 12-1. Is there an issue with Ross Barkley, do you think, at the moment? Because I've seen a lot of comment about him in the press recently. And has he improved enough in the last 5 or 6 years to justify his permanent place in the starting 11?
Tricky one with Ross, because I'm a huge fan of his.
Yeah, I am as well.
But yeah, I think that he has got to evolve his game. This is a huge season for him. I think everyone's been aware of that. And I think there is a sense that if it's not going to be under Koeman, he's got the perfect manager now. I think I've always felt with him, his mind was a bit muddled with advice for the last few years. You know, he didn't know what he should be. You know, when he first got into the team, it was all such free. You know, people were sort of comparing him to Gazza and comparing him to Steven Gerrard, combination two, or what a player that would be. Now he doesn't know whether to dribble. Sometimes he doesn't know whether to dribble or lay it off, 6 yard pass. You know, which areas of the pitch he should be passing, which areas of the pitch he should be trying something different. There is always a bit of a groan around the stadium when he loses the ball, which I always think is hugely unfair because, I mean, sometimes these great players do concede possession. As long as they're conceding possession, trying something, you know, maybe they're on the edge of the opponent's box, not something to be discouraged. But I think now he feels that sense of lack of confidence to try the kind of things that he was so good at, which was beating his man, pulling players out of position, creating space for his teammates. There's been signs of progress this season, and then also there's been games where he just hasn't looked himself at all. So, but I think Koeman is the man to help him with that, and I'm hoping that by the end of this season there'll be a very different, more consistent Ross Barkley. And he's a good lad as well. You know, he's not one of these flash Harrys who goes around thinking he's made it. He does actually really is quite very conscientious about his game and wants to improve. And I know he really want to get back in the England squad. I'm not sure he's done enough to get back into it for this weekend, I'm afraid.
Everton are 3-4, the draw 14-5, Palace 4-1. On to Saturday's live match, which is Swansea versus Liverpool at the Liberty. Swansea 7-1 to win it. The draw 7-2, Liverpool 4-9. Enhanced odds, Gylfie Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win. Was 10-1, it's now 14s. And Philip Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win. Was 13-8, now 2-1. Liverpool look outstanding at the moment, Chris. Scoring freely. Winning games with something in hand. And I watched the Jurgen Klopp interview on Monday Night Football on Sky Sports, and it was enlightening. He seems to be trying to revolutionise the way that the game is played in terms of not playing with any specific system, but pressurising the ball at every opportunity. And there's a gang-like mentality with Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool are a team now. I think... you know, you look through the 1 to 11 and you say, okay, who's the world class player in that lineup? And you know, people might say Coutinho, but you know, Coutinho himself hasn't always had that consistency. He's done it maybe, you know, 7 out of 10 games, which is itself fantastic. But there's always that other three where you go, come on, Philippe, you need to go up a level. You know, there's not been any bid from Barcelona or Real Madrid for Liverpool players, you know, in the last couple of years since Suarez left. But what they've got now is a team unit, a way of playing which is instantly recognisable, very difficult to stop when they're at the best, and fantastic balance in the side as well with the addition of Mane. And the one game he didn't really perform was the Burnley game, and that was on where Mane was injured, didn't play. I think had he played in that game, it would have been a different result at Burnley. But, you know, having said that, that's because he's part of a team unit, and he adds balance with his pace, and which Liverpool lacked last season. So that's why there's more optimism. Maybe when they went for the title a couple of years ago, it was mainly about Suarez and Sturridge. Obviously, others contributed, like Coutinho, Sturridge, Steven Gerrard, but you took Suarez out of that side, it didn't work. I feel this year there's just a little bit more of a team unit about them. But it's still early days, and you know, having followed Liverpool for 20 years, I do feel as though being here before, you know, a good encouraging start, positivity around the place, until this time they're going to sustain it. And then sometimes they used to call it Black November at Anfield, you know, where it all just seemed to dissipate, and by the time you got to Christmas, you were looking at top four rather than the title bid again. So we do have to be a little bit cautious, but I think it's just something about Klopp and something about this team that makes you think it's a little bit more long-term sustainability about it.
Liverpool are 4-9 to win this game. Things not going particularly well for Swansea. They played a little bit better against Manchester City last weekend, Chris, but they've only picked up 4 points from their opening 6 games, and suggestions that Francesco Guidolin is going to make way for Ryan Giggs in the not-so-distant future. 7-1's a big price for Swansea, the home side here, Chris. And you mentioned Liverpool did slip up against Burnley. There's always a possibility that might happen again, but things not particularly rosy with Swansea at the moment.
No, it doesn't look good, does it? And you always get that sense when this kind of momentum begins. It doesn't seem like the fans are happy. It sounds like some of the players aren't too happy. It sounds like the chairman's not entirely convinced, and it usually only leads to one outcome eventually. You know, he obviously needs probably not just one big win, but a more consistent run to end that kind of sense of instability. And it doesn't, you know, reading between the lines, it looks like a matter of when, not if, doesn't it? You know, nobody seems to have come out and distanced themselves from these reports about Ryan Giggs, which I'm sure 100% right. So from Liverpool's perspective, they'll want to be the slayers really on Saturday, and show no mercy. And maybe this will be the final nail for the Swansea coach, and there'll be changes there. You always feel the international break is a period when if there's going to be a change, it's going to happen. It's exactly what happened with Liverpool. If you remember this time last year, got to the international break, made the change, new guy, had a nice couple of weeks to bed down and get ready for the next game. I've got a slight suspicion that might be what's going to happen at Swansea, but maybe the decision's already been taken regardless of what happens to the weekend.
Francesco Guidolin, by the way, 4-6 to be first manager to leave his position at the Premier League club this season. What's your bet then in this game, Swansea versus Liverpool?
Well, do you know what? I mean, you know, last year I think I predicted Liverpool were going to win every game. So then, you know, we have to go in the Telegraph every Friday. We have to make our predictions. And what I've been doing is I've been predicting Liverpool are going to draw every match, apart from the Burnley one. And you saw it happen there. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. Now, read what you like into that.
17-2.
I wouldn't necessarily advise any punters to take my advice. So, Liverpool, a 1-1 draw, but with the caveat, whenever I predict Liverpool are going to win, we get beat. So there you go.
Let's move on to Sunday's games then, Chris. And we'll start with Manchester United versus Stoke, which is live at midday. Manchester United 3-10. The draw 9-2 with Stoke 10-1. Enhanced odds, Paul Pogba to score. And Man United to win was 21-10, now 3-1. And Wilfred Bonny to score and Stoke to win was 16-1, enhanced to 25-1. Finally found some fluency last weekend against Leicester, Manchester United, having lost three games successively, but played against Zorya on Thursday night, and that was dour. I'm not sure you watched that game, Chris, or not, but that, it was pretty poor from the outset.
Yeah, I watched the first half hour and I had enough, really. Yeah. I think United are just going, they must hate this word transition, but that is exactly what they've done. Even a club as, you know, huge as Manchester United, all the money they spent, you can't just put it together and expect it to happen immediately. And I think Mourinho's discovered that the foundation, the base of players there isn't quite what he needs. He's obviously added Pogba and Ibrahimovic, top-class players, but the system just isn't quite right yet. And it will, I've seen all this stuff about Mourinho. Only a fool would write off Jose Mourinho. You know, I certainly wouldn't bet against United finishing top four this season. But they're clearly nowhere near a title winning side. And they're going to have, I think, this inconsistency that you do get. You know, I've seen it with teams over so many years that to expect it to just click straight away, even if you have a great, you know, number of players, it just does not work like that. I mean, you know, Guardiola's obviously got it at Man City, but those players were already there. He just didn't have a great manager. United have got a great manager, but I don't think they've got that many players to help him play the way he wants to play. And that's going to have to be an evolution process. So I don't know whether it's a good or bad fixture for Stoke. I mean, they're in a bit of a mess, but in terms of the league table, but maybe they would go there, not many expectations, and there's a possibility for them to do something. You just don't know which United are going to turn up, and I think that's going to be the way for the foreseeable future. You know, Mourinho can really sort it out.
What are you going for in the scorelines then here?
Well, you can't not expect United to win at home at Old Trafford. I mean, I think probably go for a narrow United win, a 1-0.
Yeah, it could be low scoring. 13-2, 1-0 in the game for Manchester United. The big game this weekend is Tottenham versus Manchester City, which is 2:15. On Sunday, Tottenham 11-5, the draw 5-2, Man City 13-10. Strange start to the season for Tottenham, in my opinion, Chris, because they've sort of stealthily moved into second in the league, Tottenham, without really hitting their stride yet.
Exactly what they did last season. You know, you sort of got to spring and nobody had been speaking about them. They've all been about Leicester and Arsenal again and, you know, what's going on at City. And then, you know, suddenly it looked like Spurs were going to sneak through. And they were certainly the nearest challenger up until that last couple of weeks to Leicester. I think Pochettino was just a very, very impressive manager. Really good. Changed the identity of Tottenham now. Tottenham aren't this side that just fall away. Okay, they may lose, you know, a big game here. But I think they're unbeaten, aren't they, so far in the league. And nobody's talking about them. Probably exactly how Pochettino likes them. Not showing any ill effects so far of losing Harry Kane. This is the first real test for Guardiola's City in the Premier League. Obviously, they went to United and destroyed them. If City go to White Hart Lane and play, you know, Spurs off the park, I think you'll be getting some bookies paying out already on the title.
Yeah, I think because so.
Because it'll be like, how, but this, you know, I think this will be the game that we'll really see what, you know, whether, the, you know, City are going to run away with it or not. I think it's fantastic. I can't wait to watch this one, actually. Although I think I'm going to be up there in the Arsenal, actually, so I'll be missing it. But, it's two fantastic managers. You know, Tottenham showing every sign that they can be as good this season as they were last season without anybody actually talking about it.
Two big absentees for this match as well, Chris, which might affect the outcome. No Harry Kane for Tottenham Hotspur and... no Kevin De Bruyne for Manchester City. Two real talismen for these two sides.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, De Bruyne, you know, I think I wrote last year that had he played for the full season, I think City would have gone a lot closer. You know, he does seem to pick up these injuries, which is probably a bit of a concern. He just seems to be niggles, really. And then, you know, even if he's out for a month, that's quite significant. He's going to be a massive miss for City. And obviously we know all about Harry Kane, although Harry Kane tends to agree perhaps it is a little bit of a blessing in disguise for him. Nobody wants to be injured, nobody wants to miss any games, but he did look as though he needed a bit of a break, didn't he? A bit of a freshening up, and it could just have come, you know, if you are going to get a bit of a knock, maybe it came at the right time for him because, you know, he wasn't at his best anyway. And but, you know, how good is his replacement? I think the jury's still out, isn't it? Mr. Janssen. So.
I think that Tottenham in this game, Chris, will look to expose Manchester City if they can at set pieces because there's a real physicality in this Spurs squad. You look at some of the players they've got in there, Victor Wanyama, Moussa Sissoko, Moussa Dembele, Eric Dier, Jan Vertonghen, Toby Alderweireld. They've got serious height and a weight advantage over Manchester City, who are a small team. It's just whether or not they can get into those situations.
Yeah, well, that's the last thing you just said there. I mean, watching Guardiola's Barcelona side, everyone used to say the same thing. You know, this is a team with Javier Mascherano playing centre-back. You must be able to get at them defensively. You just couldn't get near them. You know, you couldn't get enough of the ball or get enough territory to expose, you know, that kind of height weakness at the centre, you know, centre-half. Or is it going to be the same again? Certainly Celtic had some joy in midweek, which will encourage people because great as City you've been, they're still, you know, they're not Barcelona yet. But I think that is the problem that most teams are having. You know, everyone's saying, oh, City haven't been tested. Well, maybe they haven't, because they've been so good and they dominate the ball and they just dictate the play and they control the game and you can't get near them to hurt them. If any side is going to be able to, you would think Tottenham at White Hart Lane will. That's why this makes it such a, you know, a great game, I think, on Sunday, because we're going to really see how you can hurt City and whether one of the top sides in the Premier League and one of the top managers can find a way to show them it's not going to be as easy as it looks so far. You know?
How do you think it's going to finish?
I'll have to probably sit on the fence, won't I, with this. I'm going to say, I think a very, very entertaining 2-2 draw.
12-1, the 2-2 draw. The outright draw, by the way, is 5-2. And you said, Chris, you're going to finish the weekend at Turf Moor.
Yeah.
At Burnley versus Arsenal, 8-1 Burnley to win the game. The draw 4-1. Arsenal 4-11. Again, another big price for a side at home in the Premier League. I suppose you can kind of see why, because Arsenal are playing with such fluency at the moment. And again, I suppose in a similar way to Liverpool, we see Arsenal bullying some of the lesser teams, albeit they did demolish Chelsea 3-0 in the Premier League recently.
Yeah.
And we get trapped by teams like Arsenal and Liverpool, thinking it's going to last the season, and inevitably, with Arsenal, it doesn't.
Yeah. And I think Arsenal will be looking at the recent match when Burnley beat Liverpool. You know exactly how Burnley are going to approach it. They're just going to want to do the same again. And I'm not sure so soon, after what they did against Liverpool, it can work. I think this is a game where, you know, Burnley basically have to score the first goal and then revert to that style that was so successful against Liverpool. But I just think Arsenal are going to be too canny for that. You know, we have to remember, you know, when Burnley got that goal, they were really gifted that goal. I just don't think Lighton's going to strike twice in such a short space of time. You know, Burnley do, I have to say, look much more equipped to stay up this time than they did last year. They made some good signings. You know, I think Stephen Defoe's had an impact straight away, adding a bit of experience and seeing the way they saw the game out against Watford. I thought it was, did a bit of a few problems in the last 10 minutes against Watford, but overall they were in such control of that game and it was a really professional performance by Burnley. I don't think we saw that last time they were in the Premier League, but totally different challenge against Arsenal. You know, Burnley have to score first in that game, otherwise you fear for them that Arsenal are just going to steamroll through them the way Arsenal do.
Do you think it would be a big Arsenal win then, Chris?
I'd have to say, I think I've said 3-0 in my Telegraph prediction this morning, something like that. Maybe it was 2-0, but yeah, I mean, Arsenal just that type of side that if you score first, you know, they just get away from you. And I'm not quite sure how Burnley are going to approach. Well, we know exactly how they're going to approach it. I just don't think it can work against Arsenal again, as it did against Liverpool so soon. Because Arsenal, you know, they'll have that fresh in their mind. They won't have that. They'll know exactly how it's going to be. And I think they'll find a way.
Arsenal to win 2-0 is 6-1. Arsenal to win 3-0 in the betting at 15-2. Chris, thank you for your company this morning.
No problem. No problem at all.
If you want to follow Chris on Twitter, it's @_ChrisBascom. And you can follow myself @DKellner. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the FWA podcast. Have an enjoyable weekend betting on Premier League football here with William Hill. Chris, I hope we catch up in the future.
No problem at all. Speak to you soon.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.